We read the story. Very familiar to everyone. You probably could have pretty much by rote at least told the story. Well, that night, for those shepherds, began like many others. The season probably was October, it's believed. A chill in the air. A fire beside them to warm them and to keep the prowling animals away from the flock. An idyllic night, perhaps, as they watched the constellations slowly glide across the sky as the earth turned. Perhaps the shepherd boy David, very similarly, hundreds of years before, had felt the same emotions as these men did, dreamed the same dreams that they did as they stood their watch. Perhaps they exchanged stories of their families with one another. Nothing had changed since God had said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, to let them be for signs and for seasons and for the days and for years. Let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens, to give light on the earth." And it was so. And so the night, it was like any other, but it would not end like any of the others before. It says, "And suddenly there appeared an angel of the Lord." Those who were here this morning for our message, you heard one of the verses from Hebrews 13 that tells us that sometimes unwittingly we may even have entertained angels. At such times, they would appear as any other human. The portrayal of angels in paintings is most often quite benign, sometimes even girly looking, as Arnold would say. But not these angels. They were no shrinking violets. The majesty and splendor of the Holy was to be revealed to these shepherds in all of its glory. And it says, the appearance of the first angel. At that appearance, they were terribly frightened. They were terrified, absolutely terrified at the appearance of one single angel in that visible manifestation of God's glory. And again, those who were here this morning, as we talked about the hundreds of references in the scripture to the angels. And one of the things we find is when they appear to God's people, yes, they're terrified at first, but the angels assure them, "Do not be afraid. It is not so with the unbeliever." And so the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Whether the child was born during the day or at night really makes no difference, but the glorious nighttime angelic appearance provided not only the dramatic impact, but the symbolism as well. Long lay the world in sin and darkness pining. Ever since the fall, the world has become increasingly steeped in sin and in spiritual darkness. Isaiah 9, 1 and 2 says, "But there will be no more gloom for her who is in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea. On the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." And it certainly has been shining on us ever since. On this night, though, a child would be born, not just any child, but the Son of God. The Savior who was to be born was and is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." Fall on your knees before the Lord Most Holy. We will sing at this time then the first stanza of O Holy Night, again on the back of your hymnal. You may remain seated, but we will be singing the first stanza. Ladies, would you come and lead us?
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world and sin and darkness pining, till he appeared, gift of infinite worth. Behold the babe in yonder manger lowly, 'tis God's own Son come down in human form. Fall on your knees before the Lord Most Holy. O night divine, oh night when Christ was born, oh night divine, oh night, oh night divine.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And why would God choose to manifest himself in the flesh? What grace untold to leave the bliss of glory. John 17:5, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." It is incomprehensible even for the human mind to think that the God of all creation, the God of the universe, would humble himself. It is the answer, though, to that question, why, that gives meaning to Christmas. Quite simply, Jesus came to save sinners. 1 Timothy, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. A little emphasis on the I there, perhaps, huh? Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Again, we can put the I in there. He came to save me. He came to save every one of us. Those who would receive the grace of his forgiveness. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? It's amazing that even those who shun the very thought of Christmas love to share in the festivities, never giving a thought to the reason for the giving of the gifts. Gifts to be given in recognition of the greatest gift of all, God's love toward man through his only begotten Son. Fall on your knees, repeat the wondrous story. We'll sing the second stanza then of O Holy Night, back again, your hymnal or your bulletin once again. humble hearts we bow in adoration before this child, gift of God's matchless love. Sent from on high to purchase our salvation, that we might dwell with him ever above. What grace untold to leave the bliss of glory and die for sinners, guilty and forlorn. Fall on your knees. Repeat the wondrous story. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. O night divine, O night, O night divine. This holy night was the end of the beginning, and the beginning of the end. The end of the beginning that began when Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. The beginning of the end that would usher in the covenant of grace, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. An end of the law of sin and death. The end of waiting for the promised Messiah. The beginning of the end of Satan's icy grip on the world. How Satan and the powers of darkness must have shuddered at the words of the angelic host. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth among men with whom he is pleased. How they must have wished to strike the shepherds dead when they began to make known what had been told them by the angelic messengers. They would in fact become the first evangelists. And after 8 days, when the child was presented in the temple, he would immediately be recognized as a light of revelation, even to the Gentiles, by that old codger Simeon. And then there was the old lady Anna, who walked daily around the temple. Some would think she was a loudmouth, perhaps. But no, she would speak of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. Not only that, but men from the east would take the message of the Star of Bethlehem back to their country. There was a glimmer of hope in Herod, who would kill the innocents. But alas, just as the heavenly host could not contain the announcement, nor could any who were truly looking for the consolation of Israel. Neither could this train be derailed. This train was bound for glory. It could not be derailed at the first temptation of Jesus by those who desired to kill him before the appointed time, by the one who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver in the Garden of Gethsemane, by the inglorious manner of his death on a cross, by the confines of the tomb. Nothing could contain him. Nothing could derail that train. And that holy night was the beginning of the final end, when that great multitude in heaven sings, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." And that holy night was the beginning of the final end, when finally, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. O day of joy, when in eternal splendor he shall return in his glory to reign. Fall on your knees, with joy lift up your voices. And shall we sing that third and final verse of O Holy Night?
Splendor, he shall return in his glory to reign. When every tongue due praise to him shall render, his power and might to all nations proclaim. A thrill of hope our longing hearts rejoices, for soon shall dawn that glad eternal morn. Fall on your knees with joy, lift up your voices, O night divine. When Christ was born, O night divine, O night divine.